Pray that you would bless this time in your name. Amen. I had a message done and prepared early this week, Monday, Tuesday. But then the events that happened on Wednesday, really, the Lord moved in me and he gave me a new message. The title is, "The Only Answer is Jesus." And I want to start off with Psalm 27, verses 13 through 14. And the psalmist writes, "I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord." God, we come before you today. You know the turmoil that is in our country. You know the places, Lord, where so many of our leaders have turned their backs on you, Jesus. They have allowed the enemy to slip in deception and lies. Father, I pray for your church to stand strong in faith during this time. That, Lord, we will be a beacon of light to those in darkness. That as far as it is with us, we would indeed be at peace with everyone, Lord. But that we will stand fast in you, Jesus. Just pray, Lord, for revival in this country. Pray that you would give each and every one of us wisdom. Just bless this time, Lord. Let us have ears to hear. In your name, amen. You know, I just want to give you a slight heads up. At the end, we're going to do something differently. We're going to have a prayer list. So I'm going to spend some time in prayer. Those of you streaming at home, you have a list on your screen. I would ask you to join us in prayer. You know, as I said, this has been a sad week in America. We saw what happened at the Capitol. And, you know, violence is never the answer. Breaking the law is never the answer. It was despicable. But sometimes I don't know what's worse, that or the hypocrisy we see in so many of our leaders that have an agenda. There's so much unrest in our country today, turmoil and hatred. I've heard the term civil war bandied about, and I do not believe that that is overstating anything because there are so many different sets of values on the right and on the left. And I think the saddest thing for me is we see a country founded on Jesus Christ, on Christian values. We've turned our backs on God. Those of you that live in New York State especially know what I'm talking about. But today I want you to breathe easier. I want you to take a step back and know there is only one answer, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Our confidence needs to be in Christ Jesus our Lord. Christian, it's time to rise up in faith. Has this been a message we've been giving over and over during COVID? Yes, it is. But this week, we need to understand we need God. The first point I want to make is we need to wait confidently on the Lord. Think of all the emotions. I mean, I got to be honest. I went to my phone and I'm not on social media. Glad you are this morning. I'm not looking at the news a lot because I don't need that turmoil in my heart. I'm not uninformed to a certain degree. I do look at the news. I do read it. But then I spend time in prayer. I spend time in God's word and in Christian books because I want to be filled with good things and not the negative. The fact is we all are, I think, wise enough to know if a government official is saying something, we take it with a grain of salt because oftentimes the truth is not involved. Trust has been broken in our government. Trust has been broken in media. Our trust has been broken in many places. A person I know went to Washington to the rally they had there. Didn't get caught up in all the terrible stuff. But they made the mistake of putting a picture on Facebook. And I read all the vile comments that other people wrote to her. And I said, what a country we live in. If you have a different point of view politically, I can't like you. We need Jesus Christ. You know, the fragility of human beings, you know what? We are going to disappoint one another. We're not consistent, which means there's going to be times you can look at my life and say, you're a hypocrite. That's very accurate. So can I do that to you? Because we are fallible people, we need Jesus Christ. I want to say something, Christians. You know, we have to stop debating people. Debates do one thing. They further entrench a person in their point of view. Very seldom do I see somebody debate and go, now I'm coming over to your side. It just doesn't work that way. We need to use the weapons that Jesus Christ tells us to use. It's not spouting off on social media. It's not getting angry. And believe me, I look at some of these politicians that have so many opposing points of view than I do, and it infuriates me, and it just steals my peace. So I turn it off, and I turn to God. There is only one answer that we further commit our lives to Jesus Christ. The word for this church for 2021 is closer. Confidence of this, David writes, I am confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We will see God move in our country. We will see God move in this world. We need to be confident in Jesus Christ. And the more that you allow yourself to look at things and get struck by the world, your confidence will be eroded. We need to spend time with the Lord. Confidence doesn't get motivated by panic. I look at where our state's going. I look at where our country's going, and it breaks my heart. But God tells us to be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. It doesn't mean you get in your lazy boy, tilt it back, and put your feet up. I love the example I heard a pastor give once. Waiting on God is like the beginning of a wrestling match when they're in their stance waiting for the other person to move. It means that we are actively engaged, knowing that we're going to at some point move into action, but we wait purposefully on God. We pray. We read the Bible. We be the people that God has called us to be. God's promises always come true. So when he says, I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, it's time that we have confidence. Not in what the news says. Not in what people with opposing points of view. Don't let them move you. Let them move you, to prayer. When you hear something you don't agree with, oh, that should just really psych you up to say, you know what, Lord, that person's deceived me, and I'm praying for them. See, the enemy, Satan wants you to get mad. He wants you to get reactionary. He wants you to become absorbed in your emotion, which never leads us closer to the Lord. God wants us to wait on him, to be strengthened in him. I'm excited because with all the turmoil we have, I know my Lord Jesus is going to move. And I know I got to get close to him so that when he gives me my marching orders, then I move forward. Hold on to the promises of the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 7. Let's apply them to our life today. Let's see, God, how am I supposed to interact with people that live ungodly lives? Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not rude. There's no exception for Facebook. It is not self-seeking. This is one we all deal with, I bet. It is not easily angered. Yes, I admit to you, watching some of the news this week, I have been easily angered, which means I gotta pray. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Love, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. These four verses show us one thing: how much we need God, because how much we fall short living the way God asks us to live. You have to realize, when you see people you disagree with that make you angry, every person that's breathing is a son or daughter of God. He doesn't love the Christian more than the unbeliever. We're saved. And by salvation, I mean we've asked God to forgive us. We've asked Christ to take control of our lives, for we know only through identity with Christ can we enter heaven. And so we have salvation. We're saved from God's judgment. But that doesn't mean that God loves me any more than the person that has not yet come to know him. And God looks and he wants me to live in such a way that, and you in such a way that we reflect the love of God, that our lives will draw them closer, that not only will we talk about God, but we will show God with our love. We've heard it said for years, we need to love the sinner and hate the sin. We have to learn to be uncomfortable with who we hang out with. It's a weak church that only hangs out with its members. God has called us to be a part of this world, to not embrace the world's point of view, to not embrace the world's values, but to enter the world and be his disciples, his example of love to other people. It says to keep no records of wrong. We need to focus on the person rather than their actions. Oh, I get it. It is so easy to get frustrated and angry at people who mock God. We see it in the media. We see it in TV, on the shows. We see it even in politicians. The name of Jesus Christ is not revered in great proportion in our country anymore. That angers us, because you're talking about my Father God. But when we do that, when we hear that, we have to pray, because these people are firmly entrenched in the lies of Satan. We have to be part of interaction with people that don't know God, not without compromise, but with the underlying motivation of love and healing. We need to pray against deception. I think that's really the only weapon that works. I find talking to deceived people, the words fall short, they ring hollow, but we need to pray. God loves it when we depend upon him. God hates it when we don't. When we or I take matters into my own hands, God hates it. Why? Because he knows it's failure. He knows it's a lack of faith. But when I pray and say, God, what is it that you want me to do? When I trust in him, that just excites him and he loves it. As I said earlier, our country is in turmoil. I don't know when Jesus is coming back. I know there's many Christians that believe it's probably Tuesday at 4. I realize it could be 100 years from now. I'm going to live today for Jesus. I'm going to live today not to stir up anger in another person. A gentle answer turns away wrath. We have to think before we speak. And yes, I'm talking to myself. Jesus Christ is the only answer. I don't want to put up any blockade in another person's life that will make them not be open to Christ by my words or by my actions. I love John 14, 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." What's that old saying? It's always darkest before the dawn. If you look at our country and you look at Christianity, we live in a dark country. To be honest, we live in a very liberal, dark state. Next week is Sanctity of Human Life. The thing that grieves me is, say what you will about the past administration of our country. He protected life. The administration in New York has firmly declared there's no place in New York for pro-life people. We now have an administration coming in to head up our country that devalues the life of an infant in the mother's womb. That grieves me. It angers me. It sickens me, quite honestly. But I'm grieved because they're deceived. The wisdom of man is foolishness to God. We need to hate the sin, but love the sinner. Too often when we get hot-button topics, Christians rise up in anger. They rise up in emotion, and we close the door to God's moving. We don't compromise. We speak the truth, but we need to show the love of Christ. Time and again, I've used the example of the Samaritan woman at the well. She went to the well, not in the cool of the morning, because she'd been married 5 times, was living with a guy in sin, wasn't welcomed by the community, so she went later in the day when she could be alone. Jesus purposed to see her. Jesus asked her for water, asked, even though she was a Samaritan, with the Jews and the Samaritans hated one another. Think Democrats and Republicans. Jesus asked to drink from her container. It sickens me that we live in a country that still has a racial divide. That's not from Christ. But the thing I want to say to the church, take peace in Jesus Christ. He says, "Peace I leave with you. I don't give it as the world lives." If you have a lack of peace in your life, you need more time with God. You need less time with the television, with the computer, watching the news. You need to learn to minister to yourself so that you don't act out of emotion, but you act out of the Holy Spirit moving within you. We need to learn what it means to rest in the peace of God. I am so thankful that the future of this country, of this state, nor of this church rests in my hands, but in the hands of Jesus Christ. We have to understand God is moving, so is the enemy to come against it. It's time for the church to take the chip off of its shoulder and to love the way Christ wants us to. 2 Chronicles 7, 11 through 14, well-known verses. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying out all he had mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, "I have heard your prayer." Church, God is saying, "I have heard your prayer. I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or to send a plague among my people, if my people, who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. In a few moments, we're going to pray. My last topic is, let's pray. We need to humble ourselves. Humility is understanding and knowing our condition is desperate without Jesus Christ. It's always good to make plans. It's always good to be prepared. But we need to seek God. The thing we have to look at, it starts with me. If my people humble themselves, that means you rely on God and not yourself. It says you pray, seek his face, turn from his wicked ways. We need to have the strength to ask God, what am I doing in my life that displeases you? Many of you listening, let's be honest, you know what you're doing in your life that displeases God. It's time to stop. How dare I look at somebody else and talk about their faults when I refuse to deal with mine? Jesus spoke about that when he said, you look at this little speck in your brother's eye, but you have a log in your own. It's easy for us to judge others, but we want to cut ourselves some slack. It starts with me. Church, it's time for us to hit our knees. It's time for us to trust God in a way that we quit rationalizing, we quit making excuses, and we say, Lord, you show me what displeases you. Then we repent. We turn from our wicked ways. Then God will hear us. What is God saying? I won't hear your prayers when you're in sin and you're accepting that. There's a different thing. If you're struggling with sin and you're doing all your might to get out of it and you still have, that's temptation, we all deal with it. It's a different thing to know you're in sin and allow yourself to continue to do it because of the grace of God. When you're in that state, my personal opinion is your prayers fall on deaf ears. You have tied God's hands. Sometimes we wonder why we're in the state we're in. It's because I have tied God's hands. It starts with me. We have to ask God to reveal any place in you that displeases him. Now, for those of you streaming at home, going to have a couple different lists up there. I want you to pray right now. Might be a little funky where you're at. I want you to pray. Those of us here, we're going to pray. The first couple things I want to ask you to pray for, I'm going to do like 30 seconds a section. Pray for our country. Pray for our state. Pray for our community. Do that, and I'll close that section in about 30 seconds. Lord, we do indeed pray for the United States of America. I pray that this country would once again bow their knee to you. I pray for revival, for restoration, for you to move powerfully in our country, Lord. Lord, I pray for the state of New York that we would see revival. Lord, I pray that we would see our national leaders as well as our state leaders and our local leaders come to a saving relationship of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for testimonies like Paul when his name was Saul on the road to Damascus, when you miraculously intervened in his life and brought him to salvation. I pray for those testimonies, Lord. I pray for the community of Oswego. that you would move in our lives, Lord God, that we would see you move, that there would be a hunger and thirst, O Lord, for your truth, that you would take away the deception of the enemy, that you would move powerfully. Next couple things for our church and for the Spirit of Truth to bring revival in our land. Lord, I thank you for New Covenant Community Church. Help us to wait upon you. Let us not lag behind, nor move far ahead of you, Lord. Father, I pray for you to move powerfully. I pray for those that need a touch from you, that this morning you would touch them. For those of us, Lord, that sometimes we get lost in emotion, we're frustrated, we're fearful, we're angry at the condition that we find ourselves in this country. Lord, I pray for your peace, that you would show each and every one of us your purpose, your plan on how we are to make an impact for you in this community, Lord. Lord, I pray for Spirit of Truth to come on this country, Lord God. I pray that there would be revival, Lord. Oh, Father, we've seen it in the past. We have heard different declarations that it will happen again. We say, bring it, Lord. Let our country turn back to you to find its peace, to find its strength, to find its resolve in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we come against the lies of the enemy, the deception, the false prophets, the false teachers. Lord, take away the deception. Open the eyes of the blind and let us see your truth. I think we're doing this two at a time. I'm going to do the last three together. It's for healing, for the end of the COVID pandemic, for the end of the ugliness of racism, and for the end of abortion. Let's take about 30, 40 seconds to pray. I'm doing a time limit because I know this is different for some of you. I don't want to lose you during the streaming, so we're breaking it up for now into smaller segments. And I love Jesus. Lord, we do pray for the end of the COVID pandemic, Lord. Father, I pray for peace. It is impossible to watch the varying reports we see on the news without anxiety creeping in. The desire to make a splash in the news about it, Lord God. We just see the ugliness that happens, Lord. It steals peace. It promotes fear, which is indeed the opposite of faith. That, Lord, you would give us wisdom in moving forward. But I pray for healing, Lord God, for the end of this. but that your name would be glorified, Lord, not man. Father, I pray for the end of racism. It seems man is afraid of something that is different than them. We are all equal in your sight. Man, woman, Lord, you view us all the same regardless of race. Forgive us for that ugly foolishness, Lord God. And I even pray, Lord, that you would reveal to anybody listening to this that if we have any prejudices in our lives, Lord, that you would forgive us, God. And that we would view everybody as a son and daughter of you, Lord Jesus. Father, let us have that love that God, you, Jesus, you exhibited. Be it the Samaritan woman, the healing of the blind, the healing of a leper. People that were discarded in society, you embraced. Help us to do the same, Lord. Father, I just pray that you would move. Lord, forgive us for being a country that promotes abortion, Lord. Father, I thank you for your healing, for your forgiveness, and for your love. Father, I pray that you would open the eyes of the blind that think they're doing the right thing. Father, I understand that, but indeed, they're deceived. Let us value you and value human life, Lord God. Father, I do pray that you would move powerfully, that you would be a bright light shining in the darkness, Lord. And Lord, as we move forward as a church, individually in our walk with you, let us heed these words that I am confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Let us learn what it means, O God, to wait upon you, to stay strong. You see, Lord, I love that because even when I am physically weak, when I am emotionally worn out, when I am mentally exhausted, if I sit back, you give me strength, Lord. As your word says, when I am weak, you are strong. When that occurs, Lord, you get the glory rather than me. Lord, help us to wait upon you. And Lord, as we move forward, and your word tells us, to stand up for those who are being persecuted, being treated unfairly. Please, God, give us your love for unbelievers. I pray as a church, Lord God, that the church wouldn't look for their leadership to open doors on how to minister to the lost, but, Lord, that you would birth ideas from the congregation, that the people at New Covenant Community Church would have confidence that you speak to them on how you want us to impact this community, not to make a name for our church, but to promote the name of the living God, Jesus Christ. See, Lord, your word says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek your face and turn from our wicked ways, then you will indeed hear us, forgive us, and bring healing. Lord, I know you know it's the playoffs for the NFL. How many of us can watch game upon game but make excuse that I don't have time to read and pray? My life is too busy. Forgive me for that, Lord. Lord, I do not say that to condemn, to convict, but to encourage that I just see a father looking at his church saying, oh man, you got to see what I have in store for you guys. Let us enter your gates with thanksgiving, Lord. Let us look to you with excitement, with joy, knowing, oh Lord, that you're going to move. Let us be as equipped as we can be, which comes by reading your word, by spending time in prayer, and to sometimes just quietly sitting back with no words, just allowing your spirit to minister to ours, Lord God. I thank you for this church. Thank you for your greatness, Lord. Lord, this message is for me. Though I suspect I'm not the only one, that I would realize you are the only answer. That social media does not need my reply, does not need my wisdom. That those close friends of mine that have very different points of view politically, spiritually, Lord, they don't need my sharp tongue. Rather, they need a smile and they need a socially distanced embrace in this season, Lord. But Father, let your name be glorified. We just give you everything today. In your name we pray. Amen.